All right, welcome to episode 19 of the Weekend Warrior Podcast presented by WTP Sports. It is September 6th, 2017. We have an action-packed show for you today. Pretty fun-filled show. We have Artie Januario back in with us.
Ew.
The first Artie Januario, not the second Artie Januario, although he, I guess, would be the third Artie Januario.
Yeah.
Technically. Everybody calls me Junior. For being technical. Yeah. Well, because, you know.
I get it.
Right. Yeah.
Would you wear the Roman numerals on your jersey if you were a football player?
I don't know.
That would be hot, dude.
Right.
That'd be hot. Mike would fucking hate you.
I know. That would be hot.
I might do it just to spite you, yeah.
So, along with Artie, we're talking about the Patriots obviously happening tomorrow night, which is super exciting. We're talking about the Sox a little bit, and we'll even touch on IT with his nice little heartfelt thing. Also, a little special guest today, we have Dale from Eat Sleep Fantasy coming on. Hopefully.
Are you sure?
So I hope. I think. Right. As of last week, yes. Well,
you're
I will say
you go
happens,
to the car
so.
And use my phone and call.
Perhaps it's possible. Yeah, maybe that might happen. So we talked about our fantasy league in here before. Artie's actually in the fantasy league, and so he's going to kind of break down the fantasy draft and tell us how much we suck and how bad we are at drafting, and then actually get into some actual like things you can use for your fantasy team this upcoming week. So, big shout out to MDOT and Core for the intro music and MDOT for the outro music. It's at MDOT Boston on Instagram and Twitter. And he's also on iTunes, Eagle and the Enemy is his new album. And he's also on Spotify as well. And then Core is at Core of EMS. That's Core with a K. So, K-O-R-E of EMS. Okay, and that's on Twitter. Obviously, we want you to listen, which you're doing right now, clearly. But we'd love you to subscribe on iTunes if you're not listening on iTunes and review us. We're also on Pod Paradise. We're also on Stitcher, where we have our own website, which is pretty cool. So we have a bunch of different ways you can listen. But obviously, iTunes is a cool place. If you review on iTunes or even any of those other places, Stitcher or Pod Paradise or wherever, if you review us, send us a screenshot and DM it to us or even email it to us. We will send you some free shit. So, yeah, you get some free Weekend Warrior gear. So, that'll be cool. All right. Our email and Twitter are exactly the same. Our Twitter handle is at Weekend War Pod. No E's. So, it's WKNDWARPOD. And then the Twitter handle, the email is the same. WKNDWARPOD. And that's at gmail.com. Okay. So, shoot us an email, tweet at us, or, you know, perhaps you could land on a beach in France, and then you'd be inspired by some very poignant words from Abraham Lincoln and set off on foot to find us. You'll encounter many strange things along the way, including lots of dead cows, obviously, Sam Malone, boxing promoter Joe Gould, and even Detective Fontana from New York City. Along the way, you're going to lose a lot of important people, okay, including Dom Toretto, the creepy guy from Ted, the Hebrew Hammer, Roger Maris, George from 27 Dresses. For those of you that know the movie, he was the boss who, like, Katherine Heigl wanted, but he was marrying the sister, and he was, like, playing her along, and she really douche in that movie.
Katherine Heigl reference.
No doubt. So along with them, Bat Masterson, and even Forrest Gump. Okay, but eventually, you'll get that message to us, and we will never, ever forget it. And it may even change our lives forever, eventually leading us back to France, where it all started, to make sure we've done enough after receiving that message.
So wouldn't that... So if I'm following along right, wouldn't that kind of make the listeners up them?
Fuck. Oh. No, you just ruined it. You just fucking ruined it.
But it...
No.
But if you play it out, it kind of would.
They're not up them. They're someone else. They are... You know what they are? They're the camera. Uh-huh, see?
Okay.
They're the camera guy that was right. Following everyone along and doing nothing in the back. Fuck. Okay. Damn it. All right. Well, anyways, let's play the intro.
Commentary, kid, I call trash. Warriors, come out to play. Weekend Warriors, it's a podcast. What you call a commentary?
every kid I call trash.
Hey, yo, WTP, we warriors, especially on the weekend. Looking for that sports talk, this is where it be, man. Breakdowns on your favorite teams and all that. Hear about the starters long before the ball snap. You can call Pat or go ahead and call Mike, cause we here all night, no time to stall, right? 2 seconds left, clutch shot, it's go time. Nickels on the O-line, watch the losers go wild.
Turn me up on that radio dial. It's been a while since I played, but I'm here with a smile. I'm taking jump shots, get them in and I'm out. I'm breaking records like Bill Russell. Kid has got muscle. Being polite when I'm batting this mic. You see the city of champs coming to victory dance, buddy. It's radio talk, so turn it up when it's on. We're gonna listen and rock to what it is that you want. Warriors.
Okay, so first of all, thanks for ruining the intro for me, buddy. I appreciate that one.
I didn't.
That was
ruin
great.
Anything.
No, you ruined it. Totally ruined. All right. You're not up him, okay? I listen. You please keep listening. You're not up him. It's okay. That's all right. Okay, so we wanted to talk. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about the Patriots. Obviously, opening night tomorrow night. Pretty excited about it. I mean,
go Patriots!
Oh my lord, dude! I'm just like, dude. I right? Like that. That's it.
I was watching all my stuff. I was watching games I didn't care about. I had myself glued to three games of glory, and I was just, I can't wait, man. I got all meat to throw on fire tomorrow night, and it's gonna be amazing.
Dude,
I got my Cheez-Its. We're ready, man.
That's it. There's just nothing you can do. Like, this is it, dude. I can't even speak. I can't even, like, explain to you.
Meaningful football from now until the middle of February. Oh, nothing else matters.
And let's pray to God that for Patriots fans, it's actually meaningful football all the way until the end of February. Or middle of February, I should say. Let's hope that that's the case. But we'll see. But let's hope that's the case.
They're going to go 12-4.
12-4. Shut up, Mike. 12-4. Who the hell do they lose to if they go 12-4?
I think Vegas still has the over-under as 11.5.
No, 12.5.
Right? It is. It's the highest
win-loss ever, in the history of Vegas.
I'd still go over.
But yeah, hell yeah. Who are they going to lose to?
I think they'll
If you say
lose...
Buffalo, I'm going to punch
no,
you
No, I'm not
going to
say Buffalo. Right. I think they'll lose a game at home. I don't know against who. And...
they usually
they'll probably lose that last game. Is that Buffalo?
No, the last game
last
is
the
game
Jets.
Jets.
I think they'll lose to the Jets.
Oh boy,
dude, I could start at quarterback and beat the Jets.
I'll say 14-2. They always lay one stinker at home. Every year, there is one game where they collectively play like shit in Gillette. They might not lose the game, but there's a game where they always, you know, stink it up. A sneaky trap game to me is Thursday night in Tampa.
Yes. Well, I could see them. I mean, that's
Thursday
one of
night
those
games. You know, Jameis Winston has everybody all fired up saying God knows what.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's
Thursdays are such a crapshoot.
Thursdays are a crapshoot. They usually favor the home team. Yeah. Something goes wild. There's turnovers. Something about that game scares me a little bit. And now they have the Gronk Hunter, TJ Ward at safety.
Oh,
it's just this. Something about that game, I'm like, I could see them losing that game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could see them also wiping Tampa off the face of the planet.
That's very true. That is very true. Look, I made it known last week, and I'll make it known again, 19-0. 19-0.
I'm sticking with it.
19-0. Because here's the thing. I understand the Tampa point. I get it. I understand they lay a stinker at home. They were 6-2 at home last year. Now one of them was Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
Couldn't fucking grip the football.
In the rain.
Right. And so, you know, that was a mess. They lost to Seattle because they did not play well against Seattle. So okay, they lost that game to Seattle.
And still almost won that game.
Right. And that's the thing. I look at the schedule and I'm like, show me where they lose.
Yeah.
Do they lose in Denver? Maybe, but Denver blows.
Yep.
Do they lose in Mexico to Oakland? Maybe, but do they have advantage because they've been in altitude the week before, playing a football game in altitude the week before, and then not just playing a football game in altitude, but also being able to
acclimated
just stay
to
out there,
yeah.
get acclimated and everything else. And so that's the real question for me. I just look at it and say, I don't see a loss. I just don't see one, and I understand it's not feasible to say 16-0, but I think they go 16-0. I think they win the Super Bowl at 19-0, and then Tom Brady retires.
I mean, we've talked about it. I think that's Bob Kraft's dream scenario.
Absolutely.
You
right?
I
mean?
Think he retires no matter what.
Hell no. No way he retires.
I think that's part of the plan.
You think he's going to retire if they lose? Say they make it to the Super Bowl and they lose. He's going to retire after a lost Super Bowl?
what is he going to do? Just keep going until they win a Super Bowl?
Sure, why not?
I think he wants six. So yeah. He can be on Jordan's level.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but not only that, but right now, Ken Norton Jr. Is it Ken Norton Jr.? Has five? Who has five?
Charles Haley.
Charles Haley has five. Okay, I always make that mistake. Because he played for both too, right? He played for, but he didn't. Yeah. Okay, so Charles Haley has five. Nobody has six. Nobody.
Right.
So you can say, well, Charles Haley is on the same level as, which clearly Charles Haley is on the same level as Brady. No one's saying that. But if Brady wins his sixth, then no one in the entire world has six. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Period. End of discussion. Tom Brady has six. He's not only the greatest quarterback of all time, he's the greatest player of all time, and that's it. Done. Over.
And if 19-0. Today's NFL, nobody will ever touch that.
No, 19-0, that's just stupid.
So if they do it, which I hope I didn't just curse the football gods by saying that, if they lose, it's your fault, by the way.
Let me just tell you, if they go 18-0 and make the Super Bowl, I will not sleep for two. I said it last week, I will not sleep for 2 weeks. I won't. I literally will not sleep for 2 weeks. Mm. So, no, that won't happen. So that would be... It would be awesome, but it would be terrible for my life because I feel like I wouldn't sleep for 2 weeks and it would be a nightmare. So, you know, hoping it happens, but at the same time, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. So, but here's the thing, right? If Brady doesn't retire, and we'll talk a lot more about this as the season goes on. If Brady doesn't retire, Jimmy G next year, I don't know. I mean, at this point, unless Brady shows some serious regression, you have no choice but to keep Brady.
Tom Brady's quarterback with the Patriots as long as he wants to be quarterback of the Patriots.
Right.
But I think at the same time, he's one of those guys who wants to quit on top.
Right.
And so, I mean,
yeah.
at the top of his skill level, you know what I mean? So he'll never have a Brett Favre moment or a Peyton Manning moment where he starts to regress.
Right, and you look at him and say,
I think he's literally said, you know, when are you going to retire? And he says, when I suck.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I believe him. I think he's the type where once he knows it's gone, and it can go quick, I don't think it's going to go this year or next.
I don't think he'd be able to handle that. That's why I think.
Oh, definitely.
Because he's a total maniac. Yeah. Right. So he's, you know, he's so competitive, he wouldn't be able to handle not being the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, we'll see what happens with Jimmy. We'll talk a lot more about that. But again, Brady, as we all agree, is the quarterback no matter what. And then we'll see what happens. If he retires, then, you know, just Jimmy's turn. If not, then they're going to figure something out.
I think, as I mentioned to you earlier, I think either way, they have to spend some pretty high draft capital on a quarterback next year.
Yeah.
It's a great quarterback draft. Even if you think Jimmy's the guy, you have zero people in the pipeline behind him. And then if Jimmy's not the guy, you sure as hell need somebody to replace him.
For sure.
You know, so you got to do something.
But if they're putting... What is it, 4 years now with Garoppolo? Is this his fourth year?
This will be his fourth year.
Fourth year. Yeah. So, I mean, they're putting all that time behind him, and he was about a second-round pick?
Second-round pick.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I don't think Belichick's the type of guy to pay a guy $25
million. No, he doesn't. In the sidelines. No way he does.
So, unless they can work something out where, you know, they let him know in, like, a year or 2 years.
It seems really far-fetched.
Yeah, because if I'm Garoppolo and I see Mike Glennon getting $18 million, I do zero to, you know, be hamstrung. I say, forget it, I'm walking. I see free agency, I see money. Just give me.
No, absolutely. And that's, so I think for Jimmy, it doesn't make sense to sign anything lower than what he can.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and he shouldn't. I mean,
no, he absolutely get your money,
especially in that type of game.
Right. So we'll see what happens. But I think, you know, if Brady doesn't retire and he's the quarterback still, Jimmy gets franchised and trades. We'll see what happens.
I know it won't get ugly, but man, that has potential to be really
awkward. Oh, it could get wicked ugly. I mean, Brady Sr. said it, right? Brady Sr. is not going to end. It's not going to end pretty.
The only thing I think that could kind of throw a little water on the fire is they both have the same agent. So he might be able to mediate things a little bit. Yeah. But as an agent, you're going to go with the money.
That's not like the NFL to have a peaceful change of power.
True.
No, it never happens. Mm-hmm. You're very true. That's very true. So, well, one guy that we know is not taking over is Jacoby Brissett. He was traded to Indy for Philip Dorsett.
I read Brissett's letter on the Players Tribune.
Yeah. No, it was nice. It was nice. You know, thank the Patriots fans and said, you know, thanks so much.
I love that guy. Man, I'm so
bummed. Thanks so much for not saying I sucked after losing to Buffalo when I literally couldn't grip the football.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, That was the that people still talk about that shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, Brissett sucks, man. He lost the. I'm like, he couldn't even fucking hold the football. People are just ridiculous. And when I say people, I mean like talk show hosts.
Yeah.
Like people that are supposed to be informed are making opinions like they don't make any sense. So I love the Dorsett pickup. Take a flyer on the guy. The guy is fast as hell. You got Cooks on one side who's fast as hell. By the way, Hogan going to the slot, primarily in the slot. Matt Chatham disagreed with me on Twitter. I'm going to prove that mother effer wrong on Thursday night, tomorrow night, when Hogan's basically in the slot on every play. And then I'm going to call him out on Twitter, and we'll see what happens. But that's what it seems like to me. And again, we've said this before. I have no like inside information. Like, I don't know. Okay, I don't actually know. He actually said to me, he's like, says who? I was like, me?
Right.
And he's like, oh, I thought you were like breaking news. I'm like, no. That's just my opinion, you know? Like, so, but I think Hogan plays in the slot, and I think he's the perfect guy to go in the slot. He's a matchup nightmare.
Like the war's coming out of involved. You get him on a third cornerback.
Oh, forget about it, dude. It's just, you know.
That's what I love about this offense is it's so crazy that even with Edelman going down, they're still a way better offense than last year, or a more balanced offense than last year.
You get Cooks now. You get Mitchell a year in. You got White, Lewis, Gillislee in the backfield. And so then you start to look at these things, and you're like, holy crap. You know, and then you get Dwayne Allen, too, who they didn't even throw to in the preseason. Yeah. So we'll see. I think Cooks is going to have a monster year. Not a Randy Moss-type year, because Randy Moss is the only person that can be Randy Moss.
You can't really compare
Moss. But I'm saying, I'm going to go on a limb and say 10 touchdowns or more. I would say 10 touchdowns or more. He's going to have 1,000 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a monster year. And again, another guy they didn't throw to in the preseason. So that tells me one of two things. Either, one, they couldn't get on the same page and they couldn't throw to him, which, by the way, everything coming out of camp is the total opposite of that.
They're protecting him.
Or they're saying, we're not going to show you our new toy in the preseason.
Right.
So he's going to be on the field, and it's going to look like he's not getting the ball, but we're not even going to throw it his way. And so when you come out, like they did when Moss was here, they come out against the Jets and throw the fucking deep ball, and nobody was ready for it, and then everyone was like, oh my God, that was ridiculous. And then they're just not ready, and see you later. So yeah,
that is a shiny new toy, man. That is a new Ferrari in the garage that your neighbors just stare at, you know.
He is just... he's just ridiculous. Yeah. It's unbelievable. So we'll see.
I hope Mitchell comes and has a good season too. I mean, they certainly trusted him in the playoffs. Lord knows he balled out in the second half of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I worry a little bit about the knee injury because he had it all throughout college and it seems kind of like a recurring thing. So I hope it doesn't nag him too much this season. But if it doesn't, I think he's got a real chance. I mean, he's not going to be 10 touchdowns, 1,000 yards, but he can be a real contributor on this team, like a David Gibbons type.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and you know, it's similar. He's similar to Amendola to me because Amendola is the type of guy who's not your everyday receiver. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, the number one guy. But when you need a big play, you know you can rely on Amendola. And Mitchell's becoming that same way, I think, where you're like, wow, we can depend on this guy to make some plays. I mean, shoot, when no one was getting open against man coverage, he was the guy that was getting open against man coverage in the Super Bowl. So. Right. You know, we'll see what happens, but that's where I'm leaning at least. So we'll see. I like that with Mitchell. And also, the last thing I want to talk about the Patriots, banner number 5. I mean, 5 championships. I still can't even believe it's 5 championships. I mean, like, you know, the first one happened in 01, obviously, but I look back and I'm like, really?
I mean, when you have to completely renovate your stadium to fit another banner, you're doing something right, man. It's unbelievable. It's so crazy how far we've come. And I know we talked about it last time I was on, but man, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I was talking to someone today about it at school, and I said, you know, look, I got made fun of in middle school for wearing Patriot stuff. And I grew up in Massachusetts. Yeah. And so it was like the Patriots are that bad. They were the laughing stock of everywhere, including this area. Like, you know, it was like ridiculous. And the thing is, Mike, you're a Redskins fan.
Yeah.
But it's not rare to find a fan around here who's not a Patriots fan.
Right. For one, they were never on TV when I was a kid.
Right.
They're blacked out all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, it's... And look, I will say, to your credit, there's a lot of people who weren't Patriots fans who became Patriots fans because of what they were doing.
Well, you know what the Patriots are? They're that band that only you like when they first come out.
Right.
And they're like, they're what, the man, it's really cool. And now everyone likes them. They sign to a major label.
Right. That's true,
on the
right?
Grammys and
it's
everything.
The worst. Because I tell people, I'm like, I'm a real Patriots fan. I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, I'm a real Patriots fan, too. And I'm like, okay. You know, who was the backup quarterback in 1993? I don't know that. And it's like, dude, the guy does the fucking color commentary for the team. Like, you don't know that? Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, it's just... You know, stuff like that. And the young kids. I mean, it's not the young kids' fault. I mean, like, when you're a young kid and you grow up in this area, it's, like, not even fair. Because they would call you a bandwagon fan. And it's like, bro, I was, like, six when they won their first championship. What do you want me to do? Like, it's not, you know, like, it just is what it is, you know? And so you can't blame them for that. But some of the older kids, some of the, you know, 30, 40-year-old guys, you're like, were you really a fan back then or were you not? Because... I know a lot of people weren't fans back then, and now all of a sudden you're pretending to be a fan, so I'm not really sure.
Even when
so.
Parcells came here, they were still getting blacked out, I remember, because I could only hear him on the radio.
Parcells changed everything, though. He's the one, and we talked about this already in our whole Mount Rushmore, but he's the one that changed everything, and he was more important than Bledsoe, because people literally came to see Parcells. That's what brought people here. Right. It's like, that's Parcells.
I got a hot take. You guys are gonna shut down?
Oh boy, here
Parcells
we go.
Parcells better coach than Belichick.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you ain't kidding about a hot take there, dude.
Oh boy.
That's
gonna take a few minutes.
I'm gonna get a strong. I'm gonna give you a strong disagree on that one. However, I think Parcells is a phenomenal coach, and you know, clearly Bill came from the Parcells kind of tree of coaching. Mm-hmm. But when you look at their overall accomplishments and what they've done, now maybe you can say Parcells never had the quarterback that Belichick has had. Yeah, and I guess you can make that argument, but I don't know, man.
I'll give Parcells credit here. Every team he's gone to, he's turned around.
Oh, 100%, right? It's not like he's ever had a shitty team,
right?
But at the same time, look at Bill. Look at Belichick. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he took the Browns, who weren't
very
good.
Well, yeah, they were a playoff team.
Right? And so, and then, of course, you know, they moved them to Baltimore, and everyone fucking basically stopped playing.
They didn't do much
so,
with the Jets, though.
No. Although, he had that one... he had that one thing he wrote, right?
The napkin.
That was kind of like the Praise Tribune thing, right? Where he wrote it.
Yeah. Not a dry eye in the house.
Oh, I know, right? Awesome. That was fantastic. And that's the one thing about Parcells is he was a douche where he just basically forced Belichick into that job.
He called Terry Glenn she.
Yeah.
That was awesome, dude.
Can you imagine?
That's just, my Lord. Well, yeah, I mean, but because he didn't want him, and Kraft was like, we're drafting this guy, and he's like, I don't fucking want this guy. And he's like, we're drafting him anyways. And Parcells was pissed.
Wasn't that draft Glenn, Malloy, and Teddy Bruschi?
Yeah. Yes. 95, I believe that was, right?
95 or 96.
Yeah, the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Was Glenn rookie that year? So that was 96.
96.
Was Curtis Martin in that draft, too?
No, he was here.
Martin was 95.
Bruschi, Malloy, and Glenn were 96.
That worked out okay, I think.
Yeah.
Vinatieri that year, too.
Yeah.
Vinatieri was a rookie in 96, right? That was all right. Decent, you know? Terry Glenn. Do you want to play for the Patriots? That's one of my favorite... Oh, that's one of my favorite lines of all time. They're like, Terry, do you want to play for the Patriots? I did. And it's like, dude, what are you doing, dude?
He was something else.
Oh, yes, he was.
I saw him at, remember the Funway on Route 1?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was eating there with my family, and he came in with his crew.
Dude, they used to party there. They all used to party there in the bar and shit. I mean,
it was a cool
place. I've heard some stories about that place, dude. Willie McGinnis one night apparently he was at the bar and he's like, I'm buying a round for every motherfucker in this place. And he just bought a drink for everybody. That's awesome, dude. So, all right. So, to close out, we have two segments here to close out football. First one is going to be the play you missed, which is basically exactly what it sounds like, which is a play that you missed during last week's game. So, you know, it could be Patriots, could be someone else, depending on what happened. We're going to give you three this time, and obviously the last week that was played was the Super Bowl, so we're going
to
give you three players from
the
Super
Bowl.
Sorry, Mike, we got to do it, bro. Sorry.
I always talk about the Super Bowl.
So the first one, I guess we'll do them in chronological order. So the first one we'll talk about is Logan Ryan. It was the play after the Julio Jones catch. Julio Jones catch was obviously a ridiculous play. makes an unbelievable play. The next play, they run a toss to Devonta Freeman. And Freeman runs it to the left, and there's a slot wide receiver that Logan Ryan is lined up on. They pull the left tackle to be the lead blocker for Freeman. And Ryan shoots in, blows up the guy blocking him, the receiver blocking him, and in the process also blows up the pulling tackle, which leaves McCourty wide open in the backfield, unblocked to make a tackle for a one-yard loss. It's second and 11. Second 11, obviously they throw it, Flowers sacks him, and then the holding call and everything like that. If they pick up 6-7 yards on that first play, they run it on third on second down. They don't throw it on second down. They run it on second down. And so that's a big play that kind of goes unnoticed there. You know, if that tackle gets out there and blocks McCourty and they pick up 5-6 yards, could change the entire game.
Was that the sequence where they threw it on third and 33?
That was, yes.
Yeah, the third and 33, and they threw
where they had no choice, right? They threw it to Gabriel on the outside. And it was just like, that's just, you just look at that play and you say, okay, Julio makes that catch. It's one of the most unbelievable catches you'll ever see.
It really was.
You just take three knees. Three knees. Yeah. Three. Dude, Nicole, my wife, could have been the head coach at that point, yeah, and they would have won the Super Bowl because she would have said, why don't we just like take a knee? And they'd be like, all right, let's just do that.
I mean, I can see them throwing on one of those downs.
No. No. No, what?
You have to run.
The game is over.
I know, but...
But nothing.
If they executed it and they just, you know...
Well, of course, if they executed
it. You know, and I think that's what they were going for.
That's the same argument.
You think?
Throw it.
Like, of course.
That's the same argument for Seattle throwing at the end of the game.
Well, and that's a different story altogether.
But
we'll talk about it. No, it's because they fucked up the clock. That one's because they fucked up the clock management, right?
This whole second half, they fucked up clock management.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
100%, right. I mean, I agree with
that. I watched it during the weekend. What are they calling two timeouts for in the third quarter?
Dude, it was unbelievable.
What are they doing?
Well, you know what's funny is that they were down. I think the Patriots at the time were down. I think it was 21-0 still. They Atlanta hasn't scored yet. Or 21-3 still, right? Mm-hmm. And they called a timeout, and I'm like, if the Patriots start coming back, that could come back to bite them in the ass, mm-hmm, because it just was a stupid timeout. And then they called another one in the third quarter. Yeah. And again, I think at that point they were up 28-3. But it's
they got charged with the timeout,
stop
too,
it,
with the Edelman challenge.
Well, but see, that one you had to challenge it because Patriots were running up to the line. They were going to get another playoff before the two-minute warning. Mm-hmm. And that was like a 25-yard game. So at that point, you have no choice. Because at that point, the timeouts don't matter.
Right.
But if you hadn't screwed up in the third quarter, mm-hmm, you'd still have two timeouts, mm-hmm, or at least one timeout left. So when you got the ball back with a minute left, which, by the way, and again, I mean, we're just getting off on a tirade here, but like, you get the ball with a minute left to go in the game. You get the ball with a minute left to go in the game, and you're throwing checkdown passes, and you have Julio Jones in your team.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Go back in the shotgun, take a 5-step drop, and just chuck it deep to Julio Jones. It's just like, it's a no-brainer.
They were done, and then the coin goes against them, too.
That was it.
You could see in Matt Ryan's face, too, like, I'm never going to get that ball again.
Everyone knew the game was over.
It's like on The Simpsons, you can see the moment where his heart breaks. Because you can just see his face just drop, and it's like, well, we just lost.
That's it, right?
I kind of felt bad for Matt Ryan, just because he seemed like the only guy on that sidelines who was
I think Ryan's a great quarterback, man. He was almost perfect in that game.
Yeah.
And the coaching fucked it up for him.
Well, he took that sack. You can't take that
he
sack.
He took the sack, I know, but just...
Well, I mean, there's nothing he can do. I guess he's right.
He was making it rain for a while, and then he's like, oh, I'm throwing it?
But I will say...
But he could have checked into a run or, you know...
But see, here's the thing. I will say, on fourth down, when it's 28-3... in the third quarter, and it's fourth and one, he's on the sideline going, oh, it's a big play. It's a big play. And I'm like, dude, you're up 25 points in the Super Bowl. Your attitude should be,
like,
we're going to get the ball back and kill them. No, but he knows. You know it's the Patriots. But if you have confidence in yourself, you can say, shit, dude, we're up 25 points. Patriots can do whatever the hell they want, because when we get the ball, we're going to score again. And that needs to be your mindset. Like, it just seemed like they were waiting for it to collapse. And he was one of the guys that was just waiting for the
I think
class. You know what I mean?
The defense picked up.
Yeah.
Well, for sure. And the Patriots ran so many plays at the defense. And I understand all that.
They
just
didn't have a rhythm going.
Your mentality needs to be that we're going to fucking put these guys away.
Well, there's the inexperience.
You know? Right. That's true. That is true.
And you can hear Quinn's mic'd up in the third quarter, and he goes, all right, we're gassed. We're hanging on here.
Right, right.
third quarter, saying we're gassed, right. Oh, and that's mostly coaching. I mean, like I said last time, you're not ready for the adrenaline to wear
off. Look at the two games they had before that. They blew out Green Bay.
Right.
They blew out Seattle.
That's true. That's true.
It's like they kind of...
First time they played in a close game.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know. All right, so the second play, I will get back to this. The the scoring drive, the last scoring drive in regulation for the Patriots, Hogan on third down, third and 10 from the 9-yard line. You know, James White makes a great block, and Brady hits Hogan on the out route. Actually, Brady's arm got hit on the throw, but just not enough. White got just enough of his guy. That play, if they don't complete that pass, the Patriots have to punt from the 9-yard line. You have no choice because it's like 3 minutes left to go in the game, and they lose the game. In all likelihood, maybe they somehow win, but in all likelihood, they lose the game if they don't pick up that first down. So that's a huge, huge play. I know people have talked about it, so I don't want to spend too long on that one. The last one, I don't think I've ever even heard anyone mention it, was in overtime. They threw a comeback route to Hogan, and it was on first or second. It might have even been on first down. Threw a comeback route to Hogan, and Hogan actually came back for the football and caught it, which you're like, okay, it's a comeback route, whatever. If he doesn't come back for the football, Jalen Collins a pick six. See you later, game's over. And so, you know, again, he's supposed to come back, but... You know, a lot of times in the NFL, you see a guy doesn't come back.
And
he fights back for the football, makes the play, and if he doesn't, again, game's over. It's a pick six and game's over. Imagine that, dude. Imagine what the commentary is about Brady if he throws a pick six and they lose in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Was that the play that he caught it on the near sideline?
Yes.
Okay.
He caught it on. Yeah, and he like, and he broke that tackle from the guy and kind of kept going.
If you watch slow mo, and Brady just threads that. Oh,
yeah, because that reminded me of Super Bowl 38. Like on the drive that they got the game-winning field goal, Brady hit. I think it was Deion Branch. Right in the, it was like the same area too.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of our play. So what we're going to try to do, just so you guys know, with this segment, we're going to try to kind of get you guys some things that you maybe missed, obviously, right? So things that just kind of fly under the radar a little bit. Again, the Hogan play, the Logan Ryan play, those two really no one's really talked about. The Hogan third down play, you know, people have talked about it and mentioned it here and there, but. You know, maybe you don't realize how huge of a play it was. Any of those three plays don't happen, and they probably lose the game. So, anyway, so that's that.
And that's all new to Mark Wahlberg, because he left.
Yeah.
Douche. Oh, but his wife needed him because his kids weren't feeling good. Or shut up, Mark Wahlberg.
Get out of my life.
You got fucking nine nannies probably, dude. Stop it. You're the greatest.
Shirt.
The greatest of all time.
Fuck that.
No,
ever.
No. Fuck that. Great. Shut up. Idiot.
What a shitbag that guy is.
Ugh, he represents the freaking Boston area.
My whole family does. I can't stand them.
Also, Wahlburger stinks. Put that on record.
Wait a second.
There are so many better burger places.
I had it. It was a pretty good burger.
Get out of here.
It wasn't maybe as good for the price. But it was good. And the chili was good.
Reeks.
Chili was good.
No.
All right. Well, whatever.
I like Red Robin.
I like Paul. Paul's a nice guy. Seems like at least. I don't know if he actually is or not. I don't know. Red Robin. There's nothing wrong with Red Robin. Dude, they got the jalapeno, the super spicy one. And Red Robin gives you burgers on a fucking lettuce wrap. That's key for people that are trying to get rid of carbs, like this guy over here. So that's helpful. So
you still put ketchup and mustard on it?
Damn right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could. I mean, yeah. I mean, what the hell? But yeah, they offer it. That's like one of the things they offer in a lettuce wrap. So it's like, yeah, it's pretty sweet. Anyways, all right. So the other... How are we talking about the other segment we have? This will lead nicely into the next segment. The other segment we have is talking football with Nora and Violet, my 6 and 4 year old. They love the Patriots. They love podcasting, and so we thought, what the hell?
And they're brainwashed.
And they're brainwashed. Yep. Good point. Yep, they absolutely are.
They're being raised.
That's very true. And so we have a pretty interesting segment for you here. So yeah, listen up. Here we go.
So Nora and Violet. Here are your big Patriots fans now. Pressing matters. Everybody wants to know who would make a better boyfriend, Tom Brady or Gronk?
Tom Brady.
Why is that? Do you think Tom Brady is more handsome?
Because he's a better player.
Ooh, hot take there. Violet, what do you think? Tom Brady, Gronk, better boyfriend?
I think Tom Brady too.
Two for Tom Brady. I might go with Gronk.
Yeah, Vardy has a little bit of a man crush on him.
My boy Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, cause you have the jersey.
I do have the Gronk jersey.
That's true.
And Noah does.
I think I might look better in it than Gronk or Tom Brady. Does. I think I might win over both of them.
And I have Tom Brady.
You have the Tom Brady jersey. Yes,
you do. All right, girls. I'm going to ask you the next question.
What? Can I go?
Sure, Violet. Of course you can go. I haven't asked the question yet. Are you excited about the first game tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Yeah? What are you most excited about?
The Patriots.
The Patriots? Nice. Nora, what about you?
I'm also excited about Tom Brady.
About Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Seeing Tom Brady again?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
But you're not going to see it because we're going to be sleeping.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to be sleeping. That's
okay.
We'll tape it, though.
We'll probably watch the start.
Maybe the start of it.
Are you going to go?
I am going to go.
I knew it.
Yeah, but Mom.
Are you taking Artie's car?
No, we're not taking Artie's car, no. We're taking Grandpa's car.
Grandpa?
Grandpa's going to the...
He always goes to the game.
Yeah. Grandpa? What about the last time? Why did you take Artie? Why did you take your car the last time?
Because I went last time. I went to the last game.
Did Grandpa?
Mm-hmm.
But did he take his own car?
Yes.
Because I knew it.
Mike?
In 2001, do you think the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl if Drew Bledsoe was their starter? Do you think the defense has carried them?
You say this one.
I think the Patriots won.
Yeah.
Because that answers my question.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Patriots would won.
Bye, what do you think? Right. What do you think, Bye?
The Patriots won.
You think so?
Yeah. The Patriots are our favorite.
The Patriots are your favorite?
Yeah.
And you're wearing the Weekend Warrior shirt.
You already
know. And you went to a store.
I did?
Daddy has that shirt too.
It's the Patriots championship shirt.
Yep. And so we have to keep going.
We do?
Yeah. Turn around. You're first.
What?
I'm first. Nora said it. I didn't say anything.
I said, Artie goes first.
I think it might be bedtime for all of us.
No!
I'm going to go dream of Tom Brady tomorrow night. I think you guys
should. No!
You're going.
What do you mean I'm going?
Yes, you are.
No!
Yes, you are.
No!
No.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Just do our podcast.
Yes, you're doing your podcast right now.
Yeah!
Violet, don't yell into the microphone. Don't yell into the microphone.
Well, I love you, Tom Brady.
Even if I've never seen his real face.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that. It's just fun. It's just fun doing that. So we'll probably do that every week. Try to get them in the studio a little bit, talking a little bit, and just see what happens.
Girls, they said really, the Patriots win.
Hey, man, that's what they do, right? Yeah. That's what the Patriots do. They know the deal. I know a little controversial there with you, Artie. They thought, you know, where they thought Brady would make the better boyfriend. You thought maybe Gronk would make the better boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm still going Gronk. I don't know.
I don't know, dude.
Up for debate.
I mean, if you did like a MFK, right? I mean, you feel like you kind of have to marry Brady, wouldn't you?
One would think.
And you have like, yeah. You don't have a choice there, you know what I mean?
With who? Brady, Gronk?
Brady, Gronk, and
yeah, I mean, Brady,
Edelman. Edelman. Brady, Gronk, and Edelman. Well, that's a good one. Brady, Gronk, and Edelman. Go.
I mean, I'm wifing Brady up all day. I might kill Edelman.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's bold.
Yeah.
He's just so pretty.
He's very pretty, but.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
he's
know.
A little guy, and it's like, eh. Whereas, like, Gronk, I feel like he could, like, hold me and, like, I'd feel safe.
He's so annoying,
you
though.
Know? Yeah, but.
But you're
he's
only.
Playing it up.
You're like, only, you know, it's just a one night thing, dude. So it's just no big deal.
Well, that
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. One-nighter Gronk all day. You kidding me? You have a blast.
Right.
Oh, he would be so fun. Gronk. Fuck Gronk. Good way. Yep.
And thus concludes the gayest segment in Rick and Morty history. Not saying anything wrong with that, of course. Not saying anything wrong with that. But yeah.
Love you, Nicole. Sorry.
So, okay. Yeah. That's an interesting transition. So, we're going to talk to Dale from Eat Sleep Fantasy. He's going to be on with us. He's going to tell us how much we suck at fantasy sports.
Or as Pitbull would say, Dale.
What was that?
As Pitbull would say, Dale.
Oh, right, because Dale. I got it. I was like, I thought that was like Spanish for suck or something like that. I was like, what the fuck was that, dude?
Hello.
Now I got it. Now
all week.
Now I got it. You're right. I got it. As some of you listeners may know, his dad is a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it didn't trickle down.
All right.
So we're going to have Dale on. So that's pretty exciting. And so I think you'll enjoy the interview. Again, he's going to give you some... He's going to break down our draft, but then also give you some fantasy advice that you can use the first week of the season and maybe even moving on from there. So here we go. All right, so we have Dale from Eat Sleep Fantasy here with us. How's it going, Dale?
Good. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And so as you guys know, and as Dale knows, we did our fantasy draft this weekend. We sent Dale our results, and we figured we'd have him tell us how terrible we are at fantasy, and not only how terrible we are, but which one of us maybe is the worst at fantasy, and see what he says. So,
nobody did horrible. I mean, everybody. You know, I know the first two rounds were keepers, right?
The first round, just the first round, yeah.
Oh, just the first round. Okay, yep. All right, that changes things a little bit. No, actually, you know, even the second round was okay. Let's see, did you get Zeke in for the 12th pick or the first?
I got Zeke for the 10th pick, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the 10th. Okay, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. That's I think that's pretty good value, not really knowing, obviously, now I think it's probably going to be upheld to 6 games.
Right.
You'll play week 1, so you kind of dodged a bullet. Maybe you'll go 1-0 this week. But yeah, it's going to be tough because your second running back, actually, yeah, David Johnson, Zeke, and so your RB2 is Amir Abdullah, which isn't bad. I like Amir Abdullah. You're really riding on him, though, to guide you through the first, I guess, till week 8 now, right?
Yeah.
Because Zeke is 6-7. So, yeah, week 8, you're going to have Amir Abdullah and David Johnson starting. So I would maybe advise you to try to keep a look on the waiver wire, maybe make a trade. You're kind of a wide receiver heavy here. You got guys like Corey Coleman and Jordan Matthews pretty late. So maybe flip one of those guys for a running back in a couple weeks.
All right.
You know who I really like? Jamie, it looks like he got CJ Anderson in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th round.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing value. He got Joe Mixon before that, and I'm not even crazy about Joe Mixon, but CJ Anderson's a solid running back too. And it's going to work out well for him. I think there's a couple guys that were drafted before CJ Anderson that I would definitely get. So I like the CJ Anderson pick by Jamie. What else? I'm just kind of going through the board here. Kelvin Benjamin. It looks like Tom got Kelvin. Pretty good value. Pretty good value there. He got him in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th round. That's solid. I think Kelvin Benjamin can be a solid top 12 wide receiver this year if Cam plays as well as he did 2 years ago. Yeah. Maybe we're really not expecting Cam to be that number one quarterback, but let's be honest, he wasn't great last year. So.
Well, yeah, even if he's close to what he did. I mean, when Benjamin was healthy, he was nasty, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Carolina has a fairly easy schedule this year, too.
Absolutely. Yep, so, I mean, he has Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, and Kelvin Benjamin. That's sexy. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that team's looking pretty good. A couple guys took... you always have the guys who take the quarterbacks really early. I'm not a big fan of that. Looks like Chris got Mariota pretty late.
Yeah.
And again, I'm talking about Jamie's team. He got Derek Carr. He waited, and I think that paid out great for him. He waited towards almost the end of the draft and got Derek Carr.
Yeah, I took his. He wanted Cousins, and I took him on the turn before he could get to him.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I like Cousins too, and I think you waited. Cousins, you got him at a pretty good value. I think even though you didn't wait as long as I would feel comfortable, but that's a good value. So kudos for that. George got Justin Tucker pretty early.
Solid pick. I mean, he's gonna be the number one kicker probably. So you know,
he could have probably gotten him three rounds after.
Three? Okay. How about like six?
Yeah, exactly. So, overall, man. I mean, you guys. You know, the fun thing about this is, you know, just bullshitting with everybody, and nobody has a horrible team. I mean, I'm just glancing at him.
Except for Mike.
No,
Mike probably. I have one
tight end.
Mike did take your advice and drafted Mike Evans first.
I like it.
And he
like
did it. Wait on kicker and defense.
Yeah,
that's good.
And he drafted one tight end. Right, so like I'm pretty proud of him. I have to say, like
I thought I had a solid draft, probably the best draft I've ever had.
See, and it's not a coincidence, Dale. I mean, like this is a kid who really sucks at fantasy.
So proud of himself.
If you knew how bad he was at fantasy before he started talking to you, you would be extremely proud of how good he's done.
You know, I don't mind. I think Mike started out with Evans and Hilton.
Yeah,
that's awesome. In the late round running backs and Rob Kelly and Jonathan Stewart, and even getting Eddie Lacy really late.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty solid. Doubling down on the Colts wide receivers with Moncrief and Hilton. I mean, if you're a fan or, you know, if you really like Moncrief, I don't know if I would put that much stock in owning both of them. But overall, I think it's a pretty solid team.
Yeah.
It has a chance.
What about Artie? So Artie started with, who'd you keep? Beckham, right? And then you started with Gordon?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon at the fifth pick. I like that a lot. I think Melvin Gordon has a shot to be a shocker to, you know, overtake Bell and Johnson as that RB1.
Well, that's Armando has him as the number one back, right?
He does. And, yeah. You know, I called him crazy about a month ago. And it's warmed up to me. I'm not calling him a number one running back, but he has a shot.
Yeah.
Getting him fifth overall. You got him before Jordan Howard. Which I would definitely take Gordon over Howard. So
yeah,
you got some value there. Let's see. It looks like you got Tyreek Hill. Was that a write-in that says Tyreek Hill? I can't
remember that. Right. Yes, Tyreek Hill. You didn't even have a sticker on our draft.
This is like, how ridiculous is that?
Tyreek Hill. He's a top 24 wide receiver. So you have Beckham, Hopkins, and Hill. I like that. And you got Demaryius Thomas really late. Is that Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas really late.
Good deal. I like it. Let's see. And then you got McFadden late, so
stealing my Zeke. Stealing my Zeke points.
Steal your honey.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a starting running back weeks two through seven.
Yeah.
Now, we know Alfred Morris might cut into that a little bit. We don't really know exactly, but out of all the backfield, McFadden has a shot to become that RB1 for the first, you know, 6 weeks or, you know, I guess 7 weeks two through seven. So good job on McFadden. Sneaky.
Nice work.
And who was that last pick? Brown, is that
Latavius Murray?
Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm not scrolling all the way down. Latavius Murray, I mean, I guess he was a prayer, a dart throw, right?
What the hell?
He could work out. I mean,
essentially my last pick, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, and that's what you want out of your last pick, just guys that could, you know, do it, but it looks like Cook's going to be the guy.
Yeah,
right.
There's always somebody guy on your roster that you're going to end up cutting anyway. So, Davis is probably going to be the first one out. Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah.
No. Overall, I think it's a good draft, guys. I think everybody did pretty good. Everybody took a defense and kicker almost towards the end of the draft, except a couple of people.
Yep. Not us though, because we listen. You know, that's I'm telling you. The reclamation project on Mike is impressive. I mean, it should literally go on your resume as, like, you know, we fixed this guy because he was terrible, and now he's, like, he's pretty good. He's not great, but he's pretty good.
Let's play a game first.
Well, that's true. Good point, yeah.
No, Mike has a shot. He can you can at least go 500 and make the playoffs.
Yeah, see? There you go. See? There it is.
And I'll bet you need a shot. Once you get in the playoffs, it's all.
You never know. One week, any given Sunday.
There you go.
So, all right. So, do you want to talk about maybe some starter sit guys in the first week that maybe just might be some surprising guys that you know, that people may not be starting, or maybe you'll have an advantage if you start a guy over someone else?
I mean, there's a couple guys to mind. Kareem Hunt. I know everybody's been talking about him, and I actually do like him for the season. I when Ware went out, I just took Ware out and replaced him pretty much with Kareem Hunt, just based off the opportunity. Now they're talking about, you know, the running back by committee, and I'm kind of pumping the brakes a little bit, at least for week one.
Yeah,
he's playing New England, which is a pretty good pretty good run defense. At least they were last year. I think they've maybe even gotten a little bit better on the offseason. So I'm not too excited about Kareem Hunt. If you drafted him late, I would maybe stick him, you know, keep him on your bench if you drafted him as an RB3 or an RB4. You know, don't go too crazy this first week. Let's see what happens.
Well, the problem is that most people aren't drafting him as a RB3 or RB4. They're drafting him as like an RB1 or 2.
Right.
At least in the leagues that I've seen, you know, and it just, yeah, and, I think that's, know, a little crazy.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of the season, that's very possible that he can turn out to be that top 12 guy. It's very possible. Yeah. Just this first week, I like to play this first week super safe.
Right.
So I like to take guys that I know and, you know, don't get cute. Just take the guys that you know that can produce and see what happens week one. If you leave some points on your bench, that's okay. You know, I'd play it safe.
Can always adjust. Yeah, makes sense.
Yep. Some of the other running backs, I'm kind of going down through my list here. I haven't been crazy about Joe Mixon all offseason. I'm still not. I think Jeremy Hill still has that starting role. So I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on Joe Mixon starting him. A lot of people drafting him as an RB2 and RB3.
Right.
I'm keeping him on my bench this week as well.
Okay. Interesting.
Let me look at my wide receivers. My notes from my wide receivers really quick because I do have a couple here. There you go.
Should have some like music playing in the background.
Yeah. You know? Break that D. You know, it's weird. Every time I talk to you, I feel like my internet slows down. I don't know what you're doing to my service. But,
it's got
to
be us, man. That's the way it works.
It has to be. It has to be. Because we have everything. Anyways, just right off the top of my head, because it's not loading here. I like Dez Bryant a lot playing against the Giants.
Yep.
I was a big Dez believer in the offseason. I still am. Some guys I might not like as much. Oh, you know who I do like? Actually, I'll back up here. Pierre Garçon I like as a wide receiver, too. He wasn't really drafted as that.
Yeah, people are getting wicked late. I feel like someone in our draft took him, like, really late.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, and if he could be an RB2, I mean, a wide receiver, too, I mean, that's legit, you know? I mean, he's the only guy in San Francisco, right? There's no one else there.
My feelings, exactly.
Yeah.
So, we're looking good on that. Guys that I don't particularly like. Let's see. Oh, I'll back up again because I'm going down my list. I like Brandon Marshall, especially if Odell Beckham doesn't play.
Right.
I like Brandon Marshall anyways. I think he could be a 10-touchdown guy this season. Hmm. And without Odell there, I think, you know, him and Eli are just going to gain confidence. So this could be a nice start to the season for them.
Right.
Jordan Matthews, I don't know if you guys are up to date on that, but he hasn't really practiced with Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, he's been hurt, right?
Yeah, he's been hurt. Yeah. And they're saying he might play. He might be ready for week one. He's not going to do much, I don't think. So, you know, keep him on your bench. You probably draft him on your bench, keep him there. But this is another guy at the end of the season or, you know, mid-season, say by week 4 or 5, Jordan Matthews could be something really good for your team.
Right.
I think he was undervalued as being drafted.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see. Some guys maybe I'm not high on Chris Hogan. I think a lot of people are. They are playing Kansas City, which I know it doesn't mean a lot to Tom Brady because, you know, he's going to ball out regardless, right?
Right.
But I'm just not big on Chris Hogan yet. I there's a little bit more I want to see on him. I mean, there's guys like Ted Ginn, Jeremy Maclin that I would start ahead of Hogan.
Okay, I see it. I disagree just because I'm a Patriots fan.
Of course.
And I also, you know, but I mean, I actually think he's going to be the slot guy. And if he is, that's an Edelman type role. And if that's the case, then, you know, he's catching a bunch of balls a game. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition or not. But,
I get it. What do you guys think about Cooks? I know you're a Pats fan.
So I've heard from inside the organization, let's say, that they're like in love with him. Like they love him. And he is like one of those guys that outworks everyone. He's in the facility early in the morning. He works his butt off. He's always asking questions. He's like super fast, got great hands. Like they expect big things from him this year, I think. And so,
yeah,
you know, unfortunately, because I live in Massachusetts, people take him super early. So I can't, like, reach on him a little bit and, like, take him. But, you know, if I have an opportunity to take him in the second or third round, I'm going to do it because I think he's not going to put up Moss numbers or anything like that. That's crazy. But, like, I think he could be a legitimate wide receiver one, top 10 wide receiver this year. And one of the – a good sign for me I always look at is in the preseason, they didn't even throw the ball to him in the preseason. And that tells me that they didn't even look his way. So they're just saying, okay, he's on the field. We're not going to throw him the ball because we don't even want you to see what he's doing. Because, you know, we're going to spring it on you week one and you're going to be like, what the hell was that? So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, I mean, what he does have going for him is he's coming from a team and a quarterback that demands excellence, you know, in Drew Brees. So it's not like he's coming from a disorganized.
Not like Ocho Cinco coming from the Bengals.
Go to the Buick and turn type of thing. No, you have to be in your spot.
Exactly. I mean, there's no excuses. You're going to be here when I need you to be. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I think, you know, Tom Brady obviously is probably exactly like, you know, the prep that Drew Brees does. So I'm sure that won't be such a culture shock as it is for some wide receivers coming into the offense.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that about does it.
Cool. Yeah. I hope I helped you guys, and good luck this season. Mike, I really have faith in you, man. I think you can turn it around.
Next one of us.
We'll have to. We'll have
just make the playoffs. Half the battle is
that's it. That's it. We'll have to give you an update halfway through. Let you know where we are and stuff, and go from there. And where can let the people know where they can find you if they're not already listened to. They should be listened to because we told them that they should be. And you guys are again. And I said this to them earlier. I mean, in my eyes, I think you're the best fantasy podcast out there. But you're certainly a top 10 fantasy podcast on iTunes. Like just by the numbers, you go with the numbers. You're a top 10 fantasy podcast. So. But you know, let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, you guys can find us website eatsleepfantasy.com. We're on all social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram. We're really active on Twitter, and actually we just got on Anchor. I don't know if you guys are on Anchor. I haven't talked to you about that, but definitely check out that app. We're doing like shorter segments and quick takes and stuff on Anchor, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I heard you guys were talking about that last episode. I thought that was a really cool idea.
So yeah, you know, it's a pretty cool app, and definitely check it out if you're into, you know, just on the go. If you know you want quick snippets of different things, it's a really cool tool. So check that out.
That's cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
All right, guys. Well, again, thanks for having me on again. It was fun, and you know, come join us on our show soon.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. Anytime you want us, you let us know. We'll give you an update about Mike's performances, and we'll see what happens.
I use that'd your draft awesome. Kit.
Yeah, right? You know what? The funny thing is I was using your draft kit, too. I use Football Guys as well, so I was using Football Guys and your draft kit at the same time.
That works.
Because I like the tiers, man. I just think it's so cool. I'd never drafted in tiers before, and I really enjoy drafting in tiers. It really kind of splits everything up for you. It makes it so much easier, you know?
It does, yep. Yeah, so. I agree. Cool, I appreciate that. Thanks all right. A lot.
Thanks, man. Appreciate all right,
it. See you, Dale.
Yeah, talk to you later.
See ya. Okay, big thanks to Dale there. Awesome guy. Listen, you listeners out there that haven't listened to Eat Sleep Fantasy yet, maybe don't understand. Like, they are like one of the top 10 fantasy football podcasts on iTunes.
I started last week, I should say, per your recommendation. Those guys are awesome.
They're unbelievable, and, dude.
Guys are excellent
right?
at what they do.
They know their stuff. They're funny. They got some, you know, they mix in some humor with the actual stuff, which is what we try to do. We're not as good at it, but we try to do it as well. And I'm telling you, they're like, you know, a top 10 fantasy thing on iTunes. They're a top 100 sports podcast on iTunes. Top 100 sports podcast, period, sports, period. Not, okay, that's weird, but sports, just not fantasy sports, just sports in general, top 100 sports on iTunes. Ridiculous that he's taken out time now the second time to be on our show. So really awesome. So we thank him a lot. And if you haven't listened to Eat Sleep Fantasy already, do so, because it's awesome. All right, so we're going to get away from football. We're going to talk some basketball. You know, honestly, the IT thing just kind of came out today. The IT article from Players Tribune came out today. And we have some very different opinions in the room on that on that article. Yeah, I mean, Artie, I know your opinion's a little bit different, so why don't you start? Well, okay. Yeah, why don't you start, Artie?
Yeah, I, you know, Isaiah love you, mean it, but you were on the team for 2.5 years, no finals appearances. Great, you know, you had one great year with us, one really good year, and then a half year other than that. But go away. You're not Brady. You're not Ortiz. You are nowhere near that level. Like, not even in the fucking stratosphere. Just quit crying. Go play with the best player in the world. Back up the Brinks truck. Get the fuck out of here. Bring on Kyrie. It's great. Yeah, boo-hoo. Oh, it hurt. It hurt so bad. I don't care. Like, yeah, thanks for the run. You know, you were a warrior last year, but eh, I'm done. Like, bigger and better things, literally and figuratively. Just well, go. Just go. Just we'll see you in the playoffs.
Wow. All right.
Well, yeah, you'll get the standing O opening night, and yeah, it's great.
Damn,
probably
get Zimmer retired.
Let's not go that far. Okay?
That's what I mean. He's trying to be like, oh, I was on my way to being Brady. Or no, there was already a Brady for the Celtics. His name is Larry Bird. You would never even touch Larry Bird or Bill Russell or Red or Kevin or any of those guys. I get it. It's a new generation. You are so lower tier for Celtics. Gone.
Okay,
bye.
Wait.
I like it.
Now, this may be true. This may be true, and it is. But what if, let's just say, what if they had won a championship with IT? And IT was there from the beginning and led them back into prominence and then was their best player as they won a championship.
The article wouldn't have been written. He would still be a Celtic.
Clearly.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
where are you going?
What I'm saying to you, not right now. I'm saying, what if it had happened? What if this year they had somehow won the championship and he had been unbelievable, played MVP caliber again, and won, you know, MVP of the finals? Don't you think, like, we'd put him up? Now, not that we put him up with, like, Bird and them, but don't you think we'd put him up with, Pierce and Garnett and those guys?
I mean, Pierce was here for, what, 11 years?
Well, true, but Garnett won one, didn't he?
No, Pierce is here 15 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But Garnett won one, didn't he?
Yeah, but...
And I know it was a different feel. I understand that. But, yeah. You know, here's a guy who came over here as a nobody. Our team sucked. He sucked. Everyone sucked. And he came in and led us to a championship? You don't think we fucking love that guy?
I mean, I love what he did for us, and yeah, that theoretical, sure, you would love him, but it didn't happen, so...
I suppose that's true.
Go. I suppose get out of here. True. Like, stop. I'm sorry. That's too much. Like, boo-hoo. True. God. Thank you for getting us Kyrie Irving. I love you for it. That's the
good
best.
Point.
Like,
good point.
Yeah, you and half
actually,
the
actually, you can thank Pierce and KG for getting you Kyrie Irving.
Very true. Good point, because that whole trade was about the Brooklyn
that
pick,
was wild.
So...
Yeah.
Talk about... fleecing, my God.
I mean, you look at some of the trades they've made. He's like he's on a Bill Belichick level with trades at this point. It's ridiculous because it's
he
not
has
just
his shitty moments.
Oh, of course he does. Of course he does. But it's
took a
not
championship from us.
Yeah, I know with the Perkins deal. I understand that freaking dick face. What the hell is
he?
He
had such
name,
a boner for Jeffrey.
I just
really
honestly
drafted him.
I've honestly
him.
Just
such
blacked
a
out.
Back here.
I've just blacked right. out. Jeff
he'll
Green.
Be on like the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I've literally blacked out Jeff Green's name from my brain because I'm like I can't even friggin' think about that idiot.
But you know, if he just stayed healthy,
right, he had his
kidding,
moments.
Yeah. No,
yeah, but that was the problem is he had his moments
right,
and he was never good enough.
Very
right,
consistent. Didn't really need him.
So
nope.
Anyways, I don't know.
I agree. I do agree with that. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I still like IT, what IT did. I loved him here as a Celtic. I think he really did embrace Boston. And I think what he wrote was true. Like, he fell in love with Boston. He loved it here. And I don't blame him. And he, you know, when he wrote the thing about his sister and how he wanted to play for his sister, and then he showed up opening, you know, the first game, and the player and the fans went nuts, and they had made signs about, you know, doing it for his sister and that they were with him, and they did the big moment of silence and everything. Like, that gave me chills just thinking about that, like, because he appreciated what the Celtics fans gave to him and how we kind of grew as a team while he grew as a player, you know? And so, like, I appreciate that, and especially when a player is able to look at that and say, you know, thank you so much for doing this, like, I think that's awesome. At the same time, I understand he's not a superstar player necessarily, but... I still think a lot of people are just kind of throwing shade because he's not here anymore. Is basically what I'm getting at.
I think he the reason he's beloved here, and even though he's only here 2.5 years, is he's the type of athlete that we like. like a gritty underdog.
He's like a Pedroia.
Yeah, exactly. Like Pedroia, yeah.
Right.
And
even Brady, when Brady came here, right? Yeah. Six round draft pick. No one had ever heard of him. He outworked everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's the image that IT had. Now, he was never going to reach that level, but that's the image that he had, whereas this guy came out of nowhere, worked his ass off, and all of a sudden he was the best player in the league, you know? And as I said, IT wasn't close to that, but I can see where he was trying to get there. I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion, at least. So, and I understand.
And he had a nice little run. I think he's important because the way he embraced Boston, not a lot of NBA players do that. And so I think because
that
of that,
you
know, Horford came here.
True.
Hayward came here. Mm-hmm.
They did.
Kyrie's happy to be here.
Right. We changed that culture, and he was a big part of that.
Absolutely.
And so I think that that's almost like
this era of Celtics basketball, he'll go down as a very important piece.
Right. Right. Even if they win a championship at some point, obviously it won't be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they win a championship at some point, we'll look back and say Thomas is a big part of the start of that. Right. So, you know, when I look, the hip thing is crazy. Right, because if he doesn't play half the season or even a quarter of the season, like, it's a fucking steal and a half, dude.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and I think it is anyways, because I feel like he's kind of broken.
Yeah. Well,
who writes a letter like that?
I was going to say, I think he's mentally fucking out to lunch, man.
Yeah, maybe. Can you go back? I mean, there was someone else. Oh, it'll come to me later, but there was another player. I forget which sport, but he got traded, and he just wasn't the same after. Shit, I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean,
it just happens to some guys, and especially a guy like him who's been an outcast his whole basketball career.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, and then he comes here, he's a star player, and you know, and then they trade him, and they
that's true.
I could see that sucking. Like, he's
totally.
He's clearly going to a worse situation in Cleveland.
Right.
Long term, worse situation. They might still be the best team in the East. But yeah, I mean, he's the rebuild juices are flowing. Hayward's coming.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting back healthy. He's going to be the next star. And then I'm gone. So I could see that
weeks before training.
Right. I could see that being like really heart wrenching, but. Nature of the beast, man. You've been traded before. Like, it happens.
No, it's true. It is true. So, well, and look, as far as the hip is concerned, right, it is true, right? They had no assurances that the hip was gonna be right, right? You didn't know. And it seemed like he was going to miss a lot of time as well. So, you know, speaking of missing a lot of time, we do have a sponsor on the show. It's Roto Assurance. And Roto Assurance is actually insurance for your fantasy football players. If your fantasy football players get hurt, like Isaiah Thomas is, you can actually get your league dues back. Okay? It's like the best deal in the entire world. It's an absolute no-brainer. If you're in multiple leagues and you have the same guy in multiple leagues, just combine the total cost of all your league fees and freaking buy one for that.
It's genius.
And not
this
only
is
that,
absolutely
it's
genius.
Unbelievable, dude. Not only that, if you use our promo code WWP, capital W, capital W, capital P, you get 20% off your league dues. 20% off? Are you kidding me? So, and it's, at the most, it's about 10% of your league dues. You pay $50, it's $5 to insure somebody. You get 20% off, it's $4. Are you kidding me? My buddy's in a $1,000 league. A $1,000 league. How insane is that?
Oh, God.
Right?
This guy's got to be single. There's no way.
Right?
There is 0% chance a married man would get the ability 100% to do that.
Unless it's like Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, right.
Single sells Range Rovers. So he's got the money. So anyways, he's in a $1,000 league. It's $100 to insure a player. $100. You use our code, it's $80. So if one of his guys goes out for, I think 8 weeks is what they have to go out for.
Oh, wow.
One of his guys goes out for 8 weeks. He gets his money back for $80. $80? Are you kidding me? You'd be an idiot not to do that. So, anyways, RotoAssurance, rotoassurance.com. Type in our promo code WWP, and you get 20% off everything you buy. So, go hit him up. But getting back to IT, look, I agree. I understand, and I think the trade overall will work out well for the Celtics. I just think that we need to appreciate what happened with IT. We need to appreciate the player he was. And what he helped build here. And as long as we do that, I'm cool with it. I'm totally fine with it. As long as they do that, I'm totally fine with the trade and him going. And we'll see. Maybe he doesn't come back the same. Maybe he loses a step because of his hip. Who knows? And if he does, Holy crap, dude. Yeah. Like, holy crap.
Guy like him, does, too. Right? He loses half a step. That's
it. At 5'9", right? Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, overall, I think it was a great trade for the Celtics. I think they'll be better. Again, I wonder what Kyrie would be without LeBron. But
I'm more worried about him being David Price, too.
Yeah, well, can't perform under the lights or whatever?
No, just like kind of like a... Yeah, just can't handle Boston.
Yeah, but
like,
you know what, douche. Though? Cleveland, he had the spotlight on him all the time in Cleveland. LeBron brings all the media everywhere. Like, you know, and in the biggest moment in the finals when they won, he was their best player. And I know LeBron won MVP, and deservedly so. But they don't win that finals without Kyrie Irving. And so I'm not as worried about that. Obviously, his record without LeBron is crappy. But look at the teams that he played with without LeBron, right? They sucked. So, like,
they're still tanking.
Right, yeah, and so, exactly. You know, so and maybe his rookie year they weren't, but he was a rookie, like, you know, so anyway, so we'll see what happens with that. Excited about the season. Shit, they open up with Cleveland. I mean, unbelievable. So it's going to be...
One of those two, Kyrie or LeBron, is putting up 50 that first game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That game's going to be a blast
that's
to watch.
That's
going to
be an awesome game to watch. So that'll be a lot of fun.
I don't watch much regular season NBA, and that's going to be real fun.
Uh-huh, no doubt. Absolutely. So just super quick. We'll mention the Red Sox really quickly because they are just falling apart.
I was going to say, we have to mention the Red Sox.
Holy shit.
Oh, boy.
They won in 19 innings last night,
though. Don't care.
Got that. That was great. Don't care. It is just...
Like me and Mike were saying, the choke's coming, man. It is not. It's already in the works.
It is not looking good. No. It is not looking good for Red Sox Nation.
But I think they've overachieved this year, too. I never would have pegged them for a team being first place in 2 months.
They overachieved while underachieving. I'm not joking. Look at every single hitter in the lineup is hitting worse than last year.
It's true. It's a good point.
Unbelievable. They're in first place.
Yeah,
right,
it's unreal.
Now,
but it's really unreal. Well, and the bullpen pitched really well for a while, then they sucked. The starting pitching pitched really well for a while, then they sucked. It's like it's an up and down team. Even if they make the playoffs, there is no way they're beating Cleveland. No chance in hell they're beating Cleveland. Nope. So that's the end of that. Cleveland has a 1,000 times better manager. That's interesting.
Why can't we get guys like
that? You know what? And I think Arizona has a pretty good manager too, don't they?
Yeah. They won 10 in a row now.
Well, you know, maybe we shouldn't let Torrey Lovello walk. Yeah. Just saying. Hey, guys. It's not an Apple Watch.
Let's ruin my night here.
Idiot.
Yeah, what's the deal with the...
The whole cheating scandal is ridiculous.
I don't get how it's possible to signal a guy... Like, well, they got a text on his watch?
They got a text, and then they put, like, a towel over their shoulder, and then Pedroia sent a carrier pigeon, and the guy on second base put his hand up to his nose, and it's so stupid, man.
It's insane. And look, there's evidence of baseball players cheating everywhere, all over the place. The Yankees were cheating... And they leaked the Red Sox cheating so that when the Red Sox said the Yankees were cheating, that it would look like the Red Sox were just trying to come back. Yeah. It's just like, dude, they reported Doug Fister. I don't know if you saw this. You see this? They reported Doug Fister for cheating because they thought he had an earpiece and he had his freaking mouth guard around his ear. It's just like, shit like that. It's like, dude, just
I will
leave
say,
it alone, man.
I mean, the Red Sox knew the rules. They are complete fucking morons for getting caught.
100%.
But stealing signs isn't illegal.
But it's the electronic thing.
Right. All the electronic
Where, you know, the line gets crossed.
Well, and not only that, but then you look at things and you start saying, okay, you know, where people cheated before. Dude, so people in the bullpen, and I forget, I don't know if it was the Yankees or if it was someone else, there's like video of someone watching the live stream of the game in the bullpen. Which, like, you can't do.
Nope.
So, like, you know, it just stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that happens all the time. And it's just like, it's on camera. It's being filmed. They know it's being filmed. And they do it anyways. And so, you know, baseball really doesn't give a shit about that stuff. It really shouldn't be a big deal.
People I think it's going to be a big deal out of it. You know, $300,000 fine, maybe a late draft pick. Just make this go away.
Sweep it under the rug.
They don't want this because every team does it. And I will blow my brains out if it becomes like a big like Spygate type of thing.
Spygate.
I don't think it will. It feels like a legal scheme already.
Red Sox get away with everything. They didn't have one guy in the Mitchell report.
That's true. Well, people just say, and look, people come out with the whole Boston's a cheating town and shit, and I just want to punch them in the face. And because listen, we'll do the Deflategate talk one day. We will do the Deflategate talk, and if you listen to me, You listen to me talk on Deflategate for one episode, and you will no longer believe in Deflategate. You will no longer believe in Deflategate. I will tell you why it is an absolute, it's absolutely 100% false and is not even possible that the Patriots cheated during Deflategate. So that's a little spoiler alert.
Yeah, but what about Spygate? Teaser.
Nope, done. Not even talking about Spygate, because Spygate was legal. They were just filming in the wrong spot. Literally. No, that's literally. It's Spygate true. Was that like, actually, you're supposed to be filming over here, and you were filming over here, so we're going to take a first-round draft pick from you. So, and they warned them, and they told them.
Freaking crazy.
But that's the truth.
You're all out of your mind.
That's the truth.
I remember we...
That is literally the truth. They said, you can film from this spot, but you can't film from this spot. And the Patriots, like douchebags, continue to film in the same spot, which they shouldn't have been doing. But they were still doing it. Like, if everyone else was filming, they were just filming from the spot over here instead of the spot. It's like the same exact thing.
I love the angry Belichick press conference where he completely shits. He's like, listen, we filmed, we weren't supposed to, we were in the wrong spot.
Right.
That's the end of it. That's like, oh, okay, that's the end of Spygate.
Right, because people say they're like, well, you were filming and no one else was. No, false. Everyone else was filming. They were just filming from a different spot than the Patriots were filming from. That's just the truth. That's just the facts. There's nothing else I can say about that. That's just the facts.
And then who was it with the saying they filmed the Rams walkthrough?
Fuck that guy.
Tomasi. It was Tomasi.
That sucks anyways.
Yeah, that guy's
the worst.
And I got a conspiracy theory, though.
Oh, here we go.
About the Deflategate.
I think
caught Belichick doing like another filming type of thing. And so the league was like, look, we'll give you $1 million. We'll just throw Brady out there. We'll make up this whole thing. This whole Deflategate thing.
Throw your golden boy under the bus.
There's no
and we'll take
chance
you down.
That happened.
And Brady was like, I'll do it.
What? Yeah. And then everyone fought it for a year and a half?
Yeah. Because Belichick would have got... He probably would have been banned for life.
So, but why would they... Again. Why would they, like, go after it so hard? And Kraft demanding apologies, and they're making enemies of the league.
All
like
a cover-up.
So it's all a show?
Watch wrestling.
That's man. One hell... Well, maybe. I mean, maybe. Shit.
I've heard an actual conspiracy theory where people say that they threw the 2007 Super Bowl against the Giants because the league made them.
Oh my god, dude.
He wore the red hoodie. He wore the red hoodie, and you know, he's frowning on the sidelines and he's all pissed the whole game. And
I've heard the conspiracy theory that they won Super Bowl 36 after 9/11 because they wore red, white, and blue.
Well, I mean, they're Patriots. That's just, you know. I mean, look, again, it's just some of the shit people say. Look, maybe you could say that the NFL is WWE. Shit, I have said I'm on record, not really on record, but now I'm on record. I did a speech in college about how the 06 playoffs were, not 06, 05 playoffs were rigged for Peyton Manning to win the Super Bowl because the Patriots-Broncos game is one of the worst officiated games in the history of football. In the history of football, it's one of the worst officiated games. And if you watch the Colts game against the Steelers, that one's just as bad. Steelers guys are getting tackled running down the field. No one's calling anything. Troy Polamalu intercepts a pass, takes two steps, falls on the ground, and as he's getting up, kicks the ball out of his hand. They call it incomplete. It was like, are you shitting me? It wouldn't even be incomplete now.
Yep.
It's just some of these things. So that, to me, I thought they were trying to get Manning an easy Super Bowl win. They knew Denver sucked. So if Indy had beaten Pittsburgh, they would have walked into Denver and beat the piss out of them. Or actually, no, that's not true. Denver would have had to go to Indy, and they would have beat the shit out of them.
Right.
And that would have been it. But instead, Pittsburgh wins because Nick Harper, I think, got stabbed in the leg by his wife, and he couldn't run, so Roethlisberger tackled him. Literally, dude, you look at all the things, and then Vanderchoke misses the field goal. I mean, it's unbelievable. But and then they played Seattle in the Super Bowl, which that was a joke.
Yeah.
But anyways, but so yes, lots of conspiracy theories. Unfortunately, the NFL isn't the WWE, so none of them might be true.
Damn close.
All of them could be true. You never know. It's possible.
Zeke Elliott playing, like, I'm sorry, man. There's no way that guy should be playing. I mean, he's a scum-sucking asshole as it is. He shouldn't be playing football anyways. But the fact that they pushed the suspension back 1 week so that he can play Sunday Night Football against the Giants week one.
Well,
get the fuck out of here. That guy should not be on the football
team. Oh, no, it's just a coincidence. The cutoff time was 4 o'clock.
God.
And it took us an extra 3 hours to get it out there. It just, you know, it took us till 7. Like, what? No. Like, you had it done. You could have easily finished it by 4 o'clock.
No,
but you
didn't. They know Beckham's not going to play week one, so they need some type of star power. They're going to show Zeke, well, you know, Zeke Elliott, 6-game suspension. How are the Cowboys? Blah, blah, blah. Not, oh God, well, it bothers me so much.
Here's the worst league in sports. Well, I don't know why we watch it.
Oh, over because, and over again. Because it's the best product. But look, here's the thing, right? The thing about this, yeah, absolutely. The thing about this,
I don't know. I don't think anymore. I think the NBA is the best product.
Oh, right now. Jesus Christ! Yeah. Don't even. That's just.
I think the NBA has more star power.
The NBA is a terrible game. It's a terrible
game.
NFL's
getting there, man.
No, dude, not even close. The NBA is literally five one-on-ones going at the same time.
I'm hoping for a hockey comeback.
Well, that's the thing. Hockey's really the best sport.
NHL's awesome.
But the NHL
start watching hockey,
people.
Yeah. Right. Bring back hockey.
We talked about that already. They're shitty with their star power. They need to work on getting their stars.
Oh, the NHL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had an idea for the NHL, but it's really stupid. And
all right, we'll talk about it another time then.
You realign it, and I got this online, but you realign
what the fuck,
it. You
didn't I just say
you bring Quebec back, right? You bring Quebec, and then you realign the division so it's more like old school rivalries, and you name the divisions. I mean, yeah, the four conferences. Or Howe, Gretzky, Lemieux.
Yeah, that is really stupid. No, I'm just kidding. No, no, look. It's
awesome. Canadians would be pissed because they're in the OR division.
They'd be really pissed.
I think that NHL is in a decent spot. You can't name them after.
They named them it used to be the Smythe division.
They're not going to do
whales.
That at this point.
Yeah.
Whales, I mean, conference. Look, you know, anyways, yes. So the NFL, whatever. I just think the Zeke Elliott, getting back to the Zeke thing for me, is funny because they could have done it so easily by doing it the next day. They could have just said, the guy didn't get to it, so he'll do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But instead, they come out with it that night?
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait a second. I thought business closed.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't get it done, but he's still in the office working on it? Like,
right.
It just, that stuff like what that. You're like, what are you doing?
He needed to see more bruises on her throat.
Right, right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Unbelievable.
Zeke Elliott, scum.
So, anyways. Oh, before we're done, we want to talk to you about one more pretty cool website that we're affiliated with. It's mybookie.ag. So if you're gambling, if you're into gambling, which I personally am not, because as I've said on the show, personally, I am a mush. I cannot gamble. I will lose, so I don't gamble. And then even if I gamble against a team, it's a mess. So I don't even gamble. But if you do, go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code Warrior, and they will match up to 100% of your initial deposit. That's 100%. That means you have 200% of the money you started with. Holy shit, I just blew your mind. Anyways, mybookie.ag, they have tons of stuff. They have in-game bets you can make. You can make bets during the game while the game is going on. You can see your progress as you're betting. It's legit. So mybookie.ag, and again, the promo code is Warrior.
Yeah, these guys are legit too. I mean, I personally don't bet. I know some guys that bet through mybookie, and you win, you get your money within 48 hours. It's crazy. These guys are amazing. Really, really great. So if you're into that stuff, man, this is the site to go to.
Well, there you go. All right. Do you have anything to add, Mike?
Yeah, I was just going to say something about betting. Yeah. I went to Cooperstown, New York a couple weekends ago.
Yes.
And I was in a card shop, and there was a picture of Pete Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, he autographed it, and he wrote, "I'm sorry, I bet on baseball, but I never bet against the Reds, Pete Rose."
That's awesome. And again, look, we talked about this last time. You know, it's almost like if you don't bet for the Reds one night, you might as well be betting against the Reds, right? If you bet the Reds every night and then all of a sudden you don't bet the Reds, well, you might as well be betting against the Reds, right? Like, it's just like one of those things. So unless he bet for the Reds every single night in every single game, he's telling people something anyways, right? So anyways, you know, anyways, okay. So cool. All right, that's good. And that's it. That's all we got, I think. Right? Nothing else. So, a Warrior One to watch. Listen, we're not even doing This Week in Sports History because This Week in Sports History is the last four times the Patriots have opened the regular season on a Thursday night. That would be in 2002 when they opened Gillette Stadium with a fucking banner celebration, which, by the way, is still the best banner celebration of them all. The freaking lights went off, laser show. Bob Kraft is talking. Was like, it blew my mind. Okay, that one was unbelievable. They did it again in 2004. They did it again in 2005. They did it again in 2015. And now they're doing it again in 2017. Holy crap. And the Warrior One to watch is obvious. Tomorrow night, it's 8:30, 8 o'clock. Well, I don't know if it does start at 8 o'clock.
Be in your seat till 8 o'clock.
I mean, I'm in my seat at 8 o'clock. Don't worry. Right? But for you guys that are, for you lowly peasants at home that are watching and not at the game, 8:30 is the start time. Maybe turn on a little early. Maybe they'll show you a little ceremony. Who knows?
Sox on tomorrow.
Who gives a shit, honestly? Probably, but who cares? So you can watch them lose again, I guess, if you'd like. So anyways, that's Julianna's going to hate us after this episode again, dude.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? By the way, I'll give Chris, one of my buddies, Chris, a little shout out here. He threw a little, I don't even know what he threw out here. He just was giving me some facts about how Matt Stafford has, in his first six seasons, two 30 touchdown years, which is like everyone was like, holy shit, Matt Stafford sucks when he has two 30 touchdown years. And then he said, well, Tom Brady had zero 30 touchdown years in his first 6 years. And it's like, well, that's awesome, but no one really cares about that, to be totally honest with you.
But also, they didn't change the rules to favor throwing until, what, 2004?
Right. And so, the Lions are a pass first team.
Yeah.
And when you talk about his first 6 years, you're probably only talking about, was that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? So I suppose, okay. So you're not talking about 7. What happened in year 7? Pretty good, I think. Right, so shit. If Matt Stafford throws 50 touchdowns this year, I guess we can start comparing him to Tom Brady. But then again, Tom Brady won 3 Super Bowls. Even though he told me not to mention the Super Bowls, I did it just for him. Screw you. It doesn't matter. Okay. So, anyways, that's it. That's all we got. So we'll give Chris a little shout out and then tell him to go screw himself. We love you, Chris. We're just messing around.
Good.
So, all right. So that's it. That's all we got. Tune in next week, and we will see you back. Same bat time. Same bat channel. We'll play out with some M.Dot.